Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Father Naaman made use her faith and voice to tell of Israel's prophet who can cure leprosy. The widow only had a small jar of oil. Dorcas had a needle, and she used it to advance the kingdom of God. Father, I come in the name of Jesus Christ to bring, Father, a word from thee. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, send the third Godhead of the Holy Spirit to show up and show out. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Everyone bring their weapons this morning. Everyone bring their weapon. I'm not a preacher. I'm a Bible instructor. And you need to bring your Bible because you need to see, am I telling what the Bible say? This morning, the scripture is Acts 3, 1 through 16. One day, Peter and John was going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. Where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, and did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he held him up, and even instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they was filled with wonders and amazement at what had happened at the place called Beautiful. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people was astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our father, has glorified his servant Jesus. You hand him over to be killed, and you dishonor him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disown the holy and righteous one and ask what a murder he released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witness of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that come through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all can see." I entitled the message, "A Beautiful Place." Brothers and sisters, this morning we find ourselves at this gate called Beautiful. Nobody really knows why this gate was located in Jerusalem. There are no records for it existing anywhere but here. The argument that makes the most sense is that this gate went by another official name, but everyone called it Beautiful, probably because it was a nice-looking gate. The story tells us that at 3 in the afternoon, Peter and John was doing what? They was walking by this, what we're going to assume to be beautiful gate. And it's interesting to learn their purpose being there. John and Peter are on their way to the temple for the time of what? Prayer. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This story also tells us that there is someone else at this gate called Beautiful. Who is this someone? A man who is there begging. As we talk about a temple to our day, it would be the church. This man was at the gate of the church begging. The scriptures don't tell us this man's name, but they do tell us a bit of his history. The Bible tells us this man was lame from birth, unable to walk, unable to work. Each day, this man was carried to and from this gate called Beautiful so that he could ask for money as the faithful Jews was making their way to the temple to do what? To pray and carry out other business at the temple, as we call it, church. The fact that he is nameless is also significant. There's very little doubt that John and Peter would eventually learn his name in the hours, months, and years following this story. But if it was included, here is the story then. Nobody would recognize it anyway. Why? Because even though he'd been carried out by this spot for years and years to beg at this gate, it wouldn't have occurred to anyone, talking about at the church door now, to ask his name. For Israel, being lame was considered a mark of uncleanliness and unworthiness. For years, he would be brought to the gate, but he would have never been asked or allowed to go in. Like many people who need help in this world, they would receive his help from those walking by and dropping a few coins without even really paying attention to him. This is probably a picture that most of us can imagine. We might even be able to place ourselves among the people walking by. Or maybe as you've been walking down the streets of Bakersfield, crossing a common around someone in need, and you just drop them a few dollars to help. That's the scene we have here in the book of Acts. This lame man sitting here just like he would any other day, collecting a few coins here and there in order to get by, but no name. Just a man that Peter and John probably passed 100 of times as they make their way to the temple to do what? To pray. The scripture tells us, however, that this day was not going to be any other day. Today at this gate called Beautiful, something different was about to happen. Let us take our Bibles and turn to Acts 3, verse 4 and 5. And I want someone in the audience to read it. Remember, I'm a Bible instructor, not a preacher. Acts 3, verses 4 and 5. Could someone read it out loud in the hearing of the congregation? Peter and John is saying to this beggar at the door of your church, look at us. Why look at Peter and John? Remember, they out in the field, right? And they're coming to the temple to pray. And so as they were coming, they passed this man over and over, begging at the temple. But this particular time, they telling this beggar to look at us. So the man gave them his attention. To the beggar man, someone would stop and ask his attention without trying to deliver him a sermon in their own interpretation why he's a beggar. What's going on? I will give you this, but not before I tell you how you should really live your life. Or what's wrong with all the choices that you must have made? This man was going through the motions, brothers and sisters, looking to John and Peter and expecting the sermon that much like we find in the book of Job. You remember Job's friends coming to him and telling him why he deserved the punishment he was getting? You are sinful. You are unclean. You have been punished for something you did or your parents did. Don't we do that? You are unworthy of what I'm about to give you, but I am so good and faithful and charitable that now you will receive after receiving some of my wisdom as well. Now let's pause for a moment. So far for this beggar, everything is going according to plans. This man's day is playing out just like it had years after years. That running through his mind at this point is that as long as he pays attention to these two men, remember Paul, Peter and John, two, going out in twos, for a few minutes, then he's going to get a few coins to survive. Then we'll come to verse 6. Somebody please read 6, 7, and 8, please. This man experienced a miracle of healing in his life. There was no trick. Did the word say that they tricked him? There was no games. Did the word say they played games with him? There was no medicine. You see, with God, the rules change and the impossible become possible. The part of the story ends beginning in verse 8 with this man going with John and Peter to the temple court. Doing what? What was this man doing? He was walking and jumping and praising God. Let us take a look at verse 9, 10, 11, 12. Will someone please read that in the congregation here? I read a story of a group of campers went to the beach, and they seen a coconut floating in the water. They retrieved it and opened it, only to discover that it was just husk without a shell or fruit inside. How disappointed they were. It promised much, but delivered nothing. Could some of us be like that coconut, full of promise but turning out empty? Are we living up to the potential the Lord had placed in us? You see, the one who Peter reminds them is the same God who led them out of Egypt, performing signs and wonders and miracles. How in the world could we get to the early church and they have forgotten it? Here are they worshiping the same God who they believe is capable of all things. And they're coming to John and Peter basically saying by their coming, I don't believe it. I don't believe God healed this man. I don't believe God used you to heal this man. You see, for them, this is unexpected. They came to worship at the temple because it was religious experience. The temple was a place where they could carry out their faith. It was a place where they could be inspired. It was a place they could make connection in the community. This was a place where they could socialize. This was a place that would be fun for many, since singing and rituals are things that while we hate to admit it, do entertain. Even the gate was called beautiful, because it probably was. We can relate to that. Church is all of this. It is good. It is inspiring. We have community and purpose. We have vision and values. Church can be fun and entertaining for us, and there is no sin in that. We come here and we do the things as church do. We run programs. We enjoy our fellowship and our worship. And we look at all of this and we say, wow, this is beautiful. Sometimes we miss the point. What really beautiful? We miss God's grace. We forget that we are here because we worship a God who is capable of changing the rules, who say to us, people crippled by sin, get up and walk. You are forgiven. My friend, verse 16 finishes. The text say, Peter says that faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know, was made strong. There are people who today continue to say the very same thing. I can't believe it. I can't believe no one can be healed. I can't believe the blind can see. I can't believe the prostitute can change. I can't believe the drug addict can get clean. I can't believe. But this man, the Bible said, and if the Bible said it, I believe it. This man got up and he walked. Peter didn't say in the name of the church. He said walk. He didn't help the man in his own name. The man was healed in the name of Jesus. He only said get up and walk. Father, glorify yourself in these last days. Bring thousands into your kingdom in the name of Jesus. Help us to know, brothers and sisters, all Peter and John had was faith in who? Jesus and his ability to help. The question that we need to ask ourselves today, what do we have? There was a story of a rich man. He had a swimming pool, and he had all this money. He said, what can I do to make things so fun for me? But yet, to see who got the faith, who dared get in this swimming pool with the alligators and the crocodile. So behold, today he brought the celebration, and he offered his ranch that was worth millions. He offered millions of dollars that anyone dare jump in that swimming pool with the alligators and crocodile. He stood there and everyone looking at each other. But just a glance, he saw this man jump into that swimming pool, paddling and breathing hard, fighting for his life to get across on the other side. He thought that this man was doing that to claim this money. But this man, he paddled the alligators and crocodile, was just biting at him, biting and snapping and snapping. And this man made it to the other side. And he got out the pool and he asked this man, where's my reward? And the rich man said, I just want to see who here had faith enough to get in that pool with the crocodile and make it to the other side. There was no reward. And he said, looked at the rest of the men, no, I didn't want a reward. I want to know who pushed me in that pool. Who pushed me in that pool? As we go out today, do God got to push us to do his work? Will we be like Peter and John? Two individuals went out, seeing this beggar at the church door. Silver and gold do I have? But what I have, I will give. What do we have to give to the people? What do we have? Don't we have Jesus? Don't we have Jesus? In the name of Jesus, give them Jesus. But you can give what you don't have. But today, my plea, if anyone dare come to the altar and want to be honest with God, God, I know I haven't been honest. I still week after week and week after week sit on the beach. Whatever it is, God, I want to be. what happened a few verses up about what happened the day of Pentecost and how they turned the world upside down. Those few people in the early church, God had blessed Seventh-day Adventist church way abundance in the millions, and especially here at Southside. What are we going to do? Are we going to be like that man who jumped in there? You the story of John and Peter and John experienced in the early church. But this is Southside Church. I want to tell you that God wants us to get up and walk. He wants us in the name of Jesus, heal the sick, raise the dead. Do you believe today? I want us to come for prayer. Come to the altar if that's you. Come for prayer. Because you see, we have to have faith. They had faith. We have to have faith. We can't just come Sabbath after Sabbath just look. We have to work. There's a work to be done. Do you believe that Jesus is coming soon? Do you believe in the resurrected Savior, the one crucified and raised from the dead and coming again? Then why are we not doing the work He called us to do? I just want to pray for you. That between you and God, your relationship between you and God. I just want to pray for you. Today we're going out in the field. We need workers. Look at Japan, what happened in the days of those people. Thousands lost their lives. I think I read those days that over 1,000 of these people homeless. Hope, we need to give people hope. We need to stop playing church. Stop coming to church. Just coming to church. We need to start being the church. Peter and John was the church. Can't you see them? Can't you see them begging out there? Begging for the bread of life? Will you give them that today, Jesus, in the name of Jesus? Get up and walk. If that's you, come to the altar. Let's pray. And there may be someone here that maybe has never made Jesus. Don't be the one that Jesus was saying that day, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. Father, thank you for the early church. Thank you for your word, which is Jesus Christ. Thank you for the greatest gift, which is Jesus Christ. And Father, people came because, Lord, they believe in you. They believe in Jesus Christ. They believe that Jesus is going to come back soon. But he's coming back for a church that are ready. Just as that beggar sit at that temple year after year begging. They outside our doors, God, begging, begging, what must I do to be saved? We got people in our home, in our families, they're saying, what must I do to be saved? But yet, people that are called by your name still think they have time. Time waits for no one. So today, Lord, you see every name, every family represented here that came to the altar because they believe in Jesus and they want to walk. That's what they want. We want to go out into the community. We want to help the broken, the blind, the lame. We want to hear that girl that is crying out to God to save their children. That mother, that grandmother, that father, that mother that have lost control of their children. And all these, Father, foster homes and jails and prisons that are so filled with our young people. Here we have a few in our church, God. But we got to show them Jesus. We got to show them Jesus. And Father, bless every need here today. Thank you for the testimony for our brother Dixon. Because without a Savior, no one will end up out of this earth on the way to heaven. Help us to stop fooling ourselves. Help us to understand that the only ticket to heaven is Jesus Christ. And that you've given us a church, not just to come to church, but we got to be the church that do your will and your work. Thank you, Father, today. Thank you for a wonderful, wonderful story of the early church, Peter and John. And Lord, when you come in them clouds, those that are standing that will be caught up, those that are dead is going to be resurrected, those that are standing is going to be caught up into the cloud. And we'll be forever saying bye-bye to this old world. But we got to have our stand right now, because that day will be too late. We love you, Lord. And we long to finish this work that you have given us on earth. In the powerful, mighty name of Jesus Christ, I'm saying to myself as well as to your congregation, get up and walk into the community and tell them the story of Jesus. It's my plea in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.